B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. All right, let's get ready for Sunday. Come on, Tunis. Let's get ready for Sunday, man. Let's look at the matchups, and let's go to our man on the scene. I wonder if he's already left for San Francisco. He, of course, from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, does a great job covering the Eagles during this entire playoff run. He's Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Highlight. Jeff!
What's up, Anthony? Yeah, no, I'm not going to either of these games. I'll be staying home because I got to go to the Senior Bowl this week, next coming week, so.
Well, what's the status of DeSean Jackson for Sunday, Jeff?
Deshaun.
See,
Am I missing a joke?
No, it's funny. Today I wanted to do make believe that the Eagles were actually playing on Sunday.
They had
defeated Green Bay in a thrilling game, Wentz over Rodgers, and we were awaiting the status of DeSean Jackson for the NFC title game against the Niners.
There you go. Hey, it was possible. It was certainly possible. DeSean might have even played in that Packers game. He would have been eligible.
Did you think he would have been? You think he would have played?
He would have been eligible. I don't know if he would have played, and I don't know how effectively he would have played. But he would have been eligible. I mean, it seemed like all signs were pointing towards him being able to play. But, you got to wonder how effective he would have been having not really played for 3 months or so and coming off a surgery like that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, but you never know. I mean, just the idea of him out there just helps help spacing on the field.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, they certainly needed that, as we know.
So a couple things. One, from the fan base, and they're killing me for doing this kind of make believe thing, and I understand it. But like to me, this just wasn't their year. Like you covered. You were there. You've been there for a while, but you covered 17. And 17, like, that was their year, right? Like, you know when it's your year or not. And losing Malik Jackson, DeSean Jackson, that early, it just wasn't their year.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. Just like last year wasn't really their year with all the injuries, too. I mean, I know they only came one Alshon Jeffrey drop pass from getting to the NFC Championship game. But, and they had all the injuries in 17 that they overcame. But you had a feeling that once that ball got rolling and they got, they avoided a couple plays in the game against the Falcons that could have turned the tide against them, that they were just a rolling locomotive all the way to the Super Bowl. You almost have the same feeling with a team like the Titans right now.
Wow.
Certainly different circumstances, different types of players and scenarios, but
backup quarterback. It's funny. I was focused on the Niners, maybe because of the NFC. Like it felt like it's San Francisco's year, right? Like last year.
No, I agree with you there too. Yeah, I mean, their defenses—they've been building towards this. Just like I felt like the Eagles were building towards that from 2016. Maybe it happened a little earlier than I thought it would.
Right. Same thing earlier for the Niners. Like last year, they didn't have a good year, and we thought they'd make a big jump last year. And I thought they'd make a jump this year, but I didn't think they'd get to the Super Bowl, and I think they're going to beat Green Bay.
But that's the thing about the NFL. You can turn it around really quickly. You really can. If you make the right moves and you have the young guys taking that next leap up, you can win very quickly.
This we're talking to Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. This championship game, this championship weekend, was always, something here because they had gone in the last 18 seasons, they've been the 6 championship games. Obviously, the Lions share happened early during Andy's tenure.
Yeah.
But, that's an impressive standing. What was your first one, by the way?
The first NFC championship they went to?
Yeah, that you covered.
Oh, that I covered. It would have been, no, because I
started
the year after 2008. No, I just started right when they got done, right when they lost that game, that's when I started covering the team. So I missed that one.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. They've had that, this weekend always kind of felt like it was the Eagles, it's been an amazing ride, and really because Andy Reid, right? Everything, he births Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
And you look at his whole thing. It's pretty interesting how he's gone his path and then the Eagles piece of it.
Right. He kind of helped put the franchise back on the map in terms of being a place, a destination for players that they wanted to come and play for. I mean, certainly Jeffrey Lurie deserves a lot of the credit for that as well, and Joe Banner. But Andy, just the type of coach that he was, players wanted to play for him. And even towards the end, 2012, he never lost the locker room. Guys wanted to play for him, they would have played for him, and we're seeing that certainly in Kansas City. But Andy built a culture around the Novacare complex that still sustains to this day.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So any movement on the OC job? What are we like? We heard James Urban's name out there.
Yeah, no surprise that his name's been mentioned. I think Mike Kafka would be another guy that I'd pay attention to. Eagles could be waiting for him. He's now the quarterback's coach for the Chiefs. The question with Kafka is, will Andy let him leave? And that, Kafka can go if he wants to. This would be a promotion for him. But with Eric Bieniemy likely to be up again for a head coaching job next offseason, Andy wants to have a guy in place ready to jump into that OC job, and that would be Kafka. He wouldn't be calling plays at either job, but would he be willing to stay for another year to work with Mahomes? Does he see that as a better circumstance than being here with Wentz in Philadelphia? That's the question. But this would give him a year ahead of that, that timeline. And then obviously all the other names you've kind of heard out there, Jim Caldwell, you're going to go either with a younger guy, you're going to go with an older guy, or, somebody who's been around for a while or that's willing to to be at a place where they're not going to be able to call plays. Marty Morningweg, I know a lot of people in this town probably don't want to hear that name. But, again, Doug and him are really close. He knows the West Coast offense. He knows the terminology. He's taken quarterbacks and maybe gotten them over certain obstacles in their career and made them better players. I'd be maybe someone that I wouldn't be surprised that they would look at. But I really get a sense that it could be Urban, Kafka, or maybe even Press Taylor, the Eagles quarterback coach right now.
Two questions. One, Jim Caldwell, is there a health issue? Somebody had talked about a potential health issue for Jim. Because he's my guy. I like to get a veteran guy in to help Doug. I think Doug needs a veteran outside voice, not another guy in-house.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know about the physical. How he's doing. He's 64, 65, so he's up there. Been around a long time. Obviously, Penn State was the quarterback's coach there. So some people may remember that in the late 80s, early 90s, and certainly the head coach of the Colts and Lions. What I want more than anything, if I'm the Eagles, is a guy that that understands that in the NFL you have to be always ahead of defensive coordinators. You can't rest on what's worked before. You have to be a step ahead at all times, moving, changing things, changing, formations, et cetera, or coming up with plays. And it doesn't matter where you get them, the high school game, the college game. So I wonder if, Caldwell certainly has done that before. Can he be the guy to do it here? Or do they look at one of these younger guys and says, okay, this guy is the next, Joe Judge or who knows, Andy Reid from many, many years ago. That's going to be the question, I think, for the Eagles.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, by the way, breaking news. As of just 2 minutes ago, James Urban pulled out of any interview with the Eagles. He wants to stay with the Ravens and Bobby Engram as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Before that?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Where did that come via Twitter, Tunis? Let Jeff know that, because that's part of the deal.
Well, it's interesting. Go ahead, yeah.
It was from Aaron Kasenitz. He covers the Ravens.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And Urban had been here before and was the quarterback's coach under Andy and Marty. And then, Doug had been the quality control coach. And they essentially moved James out of that job for Doug. And they gave him some sort of assistant offensive coordinator role, but it was a demotion, and he knew it. He left and became the wide receivers coach for the Bengals, and then worked his way back to being the quarterback's coach with the Ravens, first under Marty, and then this past year under Kid from Ocean City, whatever, the offensive coordinator.
Oh, Greg Roman, you're talking about.
Yeah, Greg Roman. He's done a phenomenal job with Lamar Jackson. They've both done a great job with Lamar Jackson, so I guess maybe he sees the situation there as well. And Greg probably is going to be another.
He'll be a hot hire, Greg. Yeah.
Yeah, for next year to be a head coach, and he can go in there and call plays for one of the most electric quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. One of the names you didn't bring up was Deuce. It's funny because I don't know anything about Deuce as it comes to what his philosophy is. And I mean, obviously I love him and would love to see him get an opportunity, but I don't know like what he brings to the table.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And I think that's the one knock against Deuce is that, he knows running backs, he knows the running game, et cetera. But like really to be an offensive coordinator, you have to spend much more time devising passing concepts, coming up with passing route concepts, dealing much more with the passing game, and maybe Deuce does have that kind of ability, and maybe Doug knows that, and that'd be the reason why he promotes him. But I've yet to hear anything about that, and that's why I feel like I think Deuce would make a better head coach than probably an offensive coordinator, if that makes sense. I feel like that
makes perfect sense. Yeah,
I feel like that's more his path. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten more interviews for head coaching openings. Yeah. And maybe maybe teams just view that you have to take that step.
I mean, by the way, Eric Bieniemy needs to get a job. Like, it's ridiculous that he doesn't have a job.
I agree with you. And he's calling plays, and he's a guy who came from the same background as Deuce Daly. And that's my thing. Like, Andy took him under his wing, saw that this is a guy that could do this, and nurtured him along, and obviously he has been able to do it. I don't know if Doug has done that with Deuce. I mean, wouldn't you have like maybe changed Deuce's role last time as opposed to assistant head coach, which really is nothing, and said, okay, you can do this, and I don't know, maybe they're doing that. My inclination is that they have not. I mean, even Jeff Stoutland was named a run game coordinator, not Deuce,
Yeah, he's got to get a higher. I agree with you. He does. He's got to leave, and he's got to go somewhere, and that's kind of how it works. I mean, unless you're going to climb with, if you think you're blocked at OC, which I think you're right. I think, and the fact that Doug's an offensive guy, I think he does have to leave. And it's a shame because I know he's probably thinking, this is my home, and it's the only organization I really know.
Yeah,
you don't want to go, but I think. It would be interesting to see if Bieniemy would have gotten a job. Does he go? Now, I know Kafka, who was here as a quarterback, as a backup kid from Northwestern, who you referenced earlier, is Andy's next in line waiting. But I wonder if Andy would give him a gig And he would probably
I was Deuce, I'd hop at that opportunity because you'd say, okay, he took the enemy and made him into this. He certainly can do
exactly.
that as well.
Exactly. Yep. It would be perfect for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know how it is in the NFL. You got to, well, honestly, in any career, it's like you stay in one place sometimes. It becomes a little stale, and people from outside view it that way as well.
Right. So. They view you as, because you've been there so long, they view you in a certain way like that. It's weird.
Yep. He's a Philadelphia Eagle, and that's it. And, okay, I'll take him off the board, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing. Any rumblings right now on what you think in off-season-wise? I know there's a lot of talk about Malcolm. But I, you know, and there's a lot of people that believe that they don't want to invest in Malcolm. I'm of the opposite. I want to bring Malcolm back.
Yeah, I think that right now, I think it's up in the air about what they're going to do with him. They, again, I don't believe an offer is even made this during the season, which I believe that they had told him would happen. They went and extended guys like Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson and made offers to Zach Ertz. Ertz hasn't met that offer yet or agreed to it yet. But Malcolm wasn't in that group. So it makes you wonder about where they stand with him. He made it very clear he's not coming back on the contract he's playing currently under. He's got 1 year left in his deal, and he can pull that power play and force a trade, because I think at this point in his career he'd be willing to sit out. Especially after he didn't do it last year. And there'll be teams that'll be interested in Malcolm. You know, teams that are close that just need a safety, some guy to do what he does.
Yeah, man, that's weird. Yeah,
look,
he's
not the athlete he once was, but a lot of what Malcolm does doesn't really show up in the stat sheet. And he just,
yes, I agree.
One
with
other
you.
Guy that he's comparable to, watch Tyrann Mathieu.
Uh huh.
And how he's utilized.
Honey Badger.
Yeah, Honey Badger. Malcolm and him are basically the only safeties that really play are that versatile.
Yep.
And then, of course, there's all that Malcolm means to the team off the field in terms of his leadership. I'd bring him back, but, you know, if he's asking for a lot, then you got to really question about bringing him back. Because, again, you want to turn the page on some of these older people this offseason.
Yeah. Hey, and last thing, just curious. Schwartz is definitely back, right? I mean, that's how we're looking at it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, as far as I know, he's back. And Doug, you know, has had some, you know, has been pretty adamant about that as well publicly.
Okay. All right, bro, listen, enjoy the game on Sunday. That's right, they're not playing.
You too, yeah, they should be good. I'm hoping for, because I got to go to the Super Bowl this year again. And best storylines, right? You always think about the best storylines.
See, you could play along with me. You have the capacity to create a narrative, right? Like, that's what I'm trying to get the audience to do with me here, is create a narrative. Let's create a storyline where we can actually get lost in it for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm okay with the 49ers. A lot of good local angles, stories there. And another guy the Eagles could center is Michael LaFleur, brother of Matt LaFleur, who's the passing game coordinator of 49ers.
Oh, wow,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, let's say they don't have an offensive coordinator. Mike Kafka's there. I can talk to him, find out about whatever. But in terms of the game, I mean, Mahomes versus Rodgers, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
Old versus new.
Yeah. This is Andy's year. Do you want to see, are you rooting for him? Do you want to see him win?
I mean, you know, I I don't root for anybody in this game. I root for myself, and
but is there a part of you, like when you divorce yourself? Yeah,
that's the best story. I root for Andy getting that, you know, winning that championship. I know the story. I'll write once he wins it. And I feel like, you know, I got to know Andy pretty well when he was here, and since he's been here, and he's a great coach. He's come close, you know. He's a Hall of Fame coach. Usually, you've heard this before, Monday through Saturday. On Sunday, he's just a very good coach, not a Hall of Fame coach. But with Mahomes, and I feel like he can get it done. He's a good man. He deserves this opportunity. And if he doesn't even get it done, I still feel like he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, won a lot of games, man. I agree with you. Hey, great stuff, Jeff. Thanks, my brother.
Okay.
Appreciate it, buddy. Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Pick
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.